believe the town needs to go in a different direction than it's going. My way of running town government would be different than at what we've experienced here in the past. And I think it's time for a breath of fresh air. We have issues in the area that need to be addressed, and a different approach, I think, is going to be beneficial and make Stockport a better place to live.
So how would you run Stockport differently?
Well, first of all, I believe in being inclusive. What the voters, what the constituency believes and feels that they need is important. I don't have a personal agenda. I'm interested in what the voters want, how they see this town improving, what improvements they want to see made in town. There are several levels at which we can find voter input being most valuable, and I welcome that. Come on down to the town board meeting. Sit down. Let us know what the problems are once I'm elected, and let's deal with those issues. A lot of folks in town feel disenfranchised, and they feel left out of the process, and that just isn't right.
There's a story about your announcement in the Register Star today that folks should check out by Francesca Olson. Excellent story. And she talks about how you want the town to be more open and transparent. I think Stockport is maybe the only town in Columbia County that does not have a website. Is that correct?
That is correct. And if we don't have a website by the time I take office, we certainly will within 30 days of that. And on that website, when I'm elected town supervisor, what folks in town will find are things like minutes from the town board meeting. There will be information that they need to know about the community. If possible, and with technology as inexpensive as it is now, we may even look at the options of taking and videotaping the town board meetings and the work session the day before and posting those on the website so folks who can't make it in for a board meeting will know what's going on in the community. Plus, there's always the ability, and it exists today, to do an email newsletter if voters want that, that would keep them updated on a weekly or monthly basis as to what's going on in town. The only way that a town should function is with 100% transparency. We need to let voters know what as elected officials we're doing. We need their input. And it's important that when we receive the input, whether it's positive or negative, that we receive it in an open forum and that there's no animosity. That's very important to be a consensus builder, to be an inclusive leader. That no matter what the issue is, a town supervisor is just that. He's the leader of the community, he or she is. And it's important, and the voters need to feel like they are part of the town. What they believe, what they think matters, because it truly does. It can't be anyone's personal agenda being moved forward. You have to look at the community as a community and function as on that level.
And besides not having a website, are there other specific areas that the town, do they publish their agenda for meetings ahead of time? Do the people in the town have access to find out what's going to go on at meetings?
Well, the agendas are available at the board currently at the board meetings before they begin.
So just when you get there, not the day before or the week before?
No, those are not made available to the best of my knowledge. At least I've never found one, and they aren't published verbatim in the newspaper. So there has been a big lack of information, and I think a lot of folks in town, in my discussions with them, they've voiced how they'd like to know what's going on. They want to be a part of it. They want to have input into expenditures in the town, and we're going through the rebuild of the ballpark up here in Columbiaville and making it into a park. By the same token, I think there's an obligation by government, by the town supervisor and the town board, to lay a plan out from start to finish so that voters and taxpayers have in front of them the complete process, whether it's multi-phase or single phase, what each phase is going to cost, what the total cost of the project is. That's important because then if they have an objection to a part of it or they don't feel part of it's needed, they don't want to make the expenditure, then there can be feedback that lets the board know, no, we don't want to move in this direction. The town would like to see it go in a different way. Right now, there isn't a lot of that give and take, and I think that's vital, especially at a town level, for that to happen with voters and with folks that are elected. We have a sacred trust, I believe, when we're elected, and that trust is that we take the voters, what their desires are, and their tax dollars, and we guard them, and we make sure that when we do make expenditures, that they're made appropriately, and they're expenditures that the town needs to make, and that a majority of the folks in town want to have made.
And do you think that's a problem now? Are you concerned about the expenditures or the spending in Stockport right now?
Let's just say that I think there are some things that could have been done differently that would have been more in tune with what a majority of taxpayers and voters would want to have happen. And I believe that they should have been given the opportunity for more input.
And what other issues do you think are facing Stockport in the next year that you're concerned about?
Well, we have a number of things going on. You know, we've been kicking around an issue with a town hall for years. We truly don't need to spend millions of dollars or even $1 million on a town hall. There are other options that haven't been fully explored that could provide the same facilities for a lesser cost. That's one issue. There are parts of this town that are extremely dark where folks walking around at night virtually can't be seen. So now we're dealing with safety issues. But yet, there has never been any exploration as to putting in street lighting in certain areas and things like this. Those are very important. More importantly, too, though, I think we need to reach out as a town to businesses both inside of Columbia County and New York State and even outside. There are areas of our town that would make wonderful locations for office complexes where there's a serene environment that's conducive to doing business. We need to bring jobs into Stockport. We have very little commerce in this town. And by doing that, ultimately, we also help Columbia County, where we've had a huge loss of jobs just in the past 10 years. And those jobs, some have been replaced, but they're by lower-paying retail jobs. So we never really have made up that revenue.
Well, you led me perfectly to my next question, which is, if you get elected to Stockport Supervisor, then you'll be on the Board of Supervisors at the county level, and so I wanted to see what some of your opinions are on some of the issues facing the county. So jobs, for instance, you just named. How do you think the county should help attract more better jobs?
Well, first of all, I believe the county needs to reach out. We need an aggressive program to go into other states and lure business to come into Columbia County to create jobs. Ultimately, with more jobs, you have more revenue, and of course, we all know that for every dollar that's spent in Columbia County, it turns over 7 times in the county. So we need to bring that forward. Plus, you're going to have homes that will be bought. You'll increase the tax base so that individually as taxpayers, we ultimately are paying less because there are more of us paying the bills.
And what about proposal to move some of the Department of Social Services into the abandoned Walmart building on Fairview Avenue in Greenport? Are you in favor of that?
I am not opposed to consolidating county offices. Now, that is a different subject, truly, than taking over the old Walmart for this reason. The Walmart building as it is right now is on the tax rolls. It's generating property taxes for the county and also for the town of Greenport. Plus, that's a retail space. Now, that has the potential of a retail merchant coming in and establishing a business there, and now you're going to generate sales tax in the future. So by taking that property off of the tax rolls, you not only eliminated the immediate taxes that are brought back into the community by that property, but now you're also cutting any future taxes that could be had once retail merchants move back into that building. Fundamentally, that's wrong. There are other properties in Columbia County that we could explore for the possibility of doing this. Just off the top of my head, you know, you have the old Greenport school sitting down there. That complex is huge. That potentially be a space. Sadly for the county, Aquamic was bought without a plan, and it turns out that wasn't a sufficient space for the county needs. It shouldn't have been purchased, and had some advanced planning been done, it would have been established ahead of time, the cost of rehabbing that building. But that didn't happen. And now we're faced with a situation where we don't have all the facts about the Walmart building. We don't know what the cost of the building is going to be, what the annual debt service is going to be. We have no idea what the cost of converting that building into offices is going to be. We don't know money would be garnered for revenue from the sale of the Okawanik School or the other buildings that the county will be moving offices out of. We don't have any of the facts. And yet, folks are trying to move ahead and buy the Walmart building.
So you'd like to see a slower process there, I guess.
I would, but I understand that, sadly, the situation has been in play long enough that the county's back may be up against the wall. And this should have never happened. This whole Walmart issue came up, I believe it was back in November, when Mr. Flood spoke to the Hudson Elks, and the outcry from the public at that point, I thought had totally persuaded the Board of Supervisors to look in another direction, because the public was just in an uproar over that. But apparently it didn't.
And you mentioned the Hudson Elks. You're a perfect radio interview because you're perfectly leading me into all my questions. You're on the Flag Day Committee at the Hudson Elks. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. I have been for about the past 4 or 5 years. And in fact, when Bob and Sherry don't come into town as to do the announcing down at the reviewing stand, I take those duties on as well as other.
And tell us your other background. You've been in the county for 21 years and in Stockport for 14, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And you also have some radio interests.
I have been in broadcasting since I was 14 years old, started in my native Massachusetts. I was born and raised in southern Worcester County. And radio, I just happened, to be honest. I hadn't planned that for a career. But a program director there directed me to get more experience and pointed me toward the military. I joined the Air Force and ran around the world for a number of years as a broadcaster, and then went out into the western part of the country where I worked in markets like St. Louis and Las Vegas and out in Colorado before coming back home, if you will. My dad got ill, and I was afforded an opportunity to come into this area, so I came year because at the time they were living in Massachusetts.
And you also, you run your own public relations firm, is that?
Yes, PRBDS, Public Relations, Business Development and Sales, is my own firm, as well as being the editor of Radio Guide and Christian Radio Guide magazine, which are two trio magazines within the broadcast industry. One of them, Radio Guide, is 100% nuts and bolts engineering. Christian Radio Guide provides not only technical information, but also management, programming, and ministry information to help Christian broadcasters in their radio ministries.
And how do you think that background will help you if you are elected supervisor?
Well, one of the things we learn as broadcasters early on is that you have to remain neutral and keep a center point, giving all parties on either side of an issue an opportunity to have an equal hearing. And then a management style which is inclusive, probably because of my broadcast background, is perfect to be a town supervisor. Citizens need to feel like what they say counts, because it does. And they need to know that they can reach out and talk with their not only their town supervisor, but members of the board about issues that they're facing, knowing that those will then be brought forward in action, hopefully taken on those issues. And once a decision to make action taken, at that point you quickly solve problems. You don't let things drag on for months or years in some cases.
All right, well, if this supervisor quest doesn't work out, you should talk to us again about being on the local radio waves with your background.
I will promise you this. Should the residents of Stockport decide that I'm not the person to lead their town and vote the current supervisor out during the next election, I certainly will give you a call, because I love radio. It truly is wonderful to be able to communicate, and in a case like this, you're giving residents an opportunity to actually hear me instead of just read what I've written and understand who I am more as a person. And that's what's vital about radio. And local radio, especially the way that your station does it, is wonderful because it keeps the community very much in touch, and that's vitally important.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that, and thanks for coming on and talking to our listeners today. Ernie Belanger, just announced candidate for Stockport Supervisor. You're seeking the Independents, Conservative, and Republican lines in Stockport.
Yes, I am. I want to thank you for the opportunity. And as you know, my phone number is published in the newspaper. My email address is in the newspaper as well. If anyone wants to talk to me about any issues regarding Stockport, you can call me at 697-0460 or email me, and it's an easy email address. It's EB, which are my initials, ebforsuper@gmail.com.
All right. Ernie Belanger, thanks so much for talking to us today, and good luck with your campaign.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back in just a second with Carlene Murphy and a preview of this Haitian talk this week.
To leave the country, though there was some nice folk there, and now I don't know where I'm going. All I know is I'll hit the ground running. Only cowboys and southern gentlemen. Bitter man rots from within. his smile, yellow and brown. The bitterness has brought him down. I had to leave the country.
Is Smog with Hit the Ground Running on WGXC, and Carlene is here. Carlene Murphy is here, who hosts our
Haitian show
Lile Lita
every Sunday at
afternoon
four p.m.
Yeah, 4 p.m.
And we have on the line an interview you're gonna do.
Yes,
right?
With Sasha Beecher at Bard College. Hi, Sasha.
Hi, Carlene. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
How are you?